John chapter 7 and verse 14. Let's listen to the word of God. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The people answered and said, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I did one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Now some of them from Jerusalem said, "Is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from. But when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from." Then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, "You both know me, and you know where I am from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me." Therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. And many of the people believed in him and said, "When the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done?" The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then Jesus said to them, "I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." Then the Jews said among themselves, "Where does he intend to go, that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing that he said? You will seek me and not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of verse 36. As I come to the last opportunity that I might have to share the gospel with you, I want to encourage you as far as salvation is concerned, don't leave it too late. Don't leave it too late. Sometimes in life, as far as the gospel is concerned, we are in no real hurry to accept God's invitation to come to Christ that we might have salvation. For some of us, we're far too young to consider this. I mean, after all, there are many other priorities as far as our journey through life is concerned, and while it might be the case that later on in life we'll give some thought to our sin, and we'll give some thought to our soul. Right now, it's not something that I want to consider. It's far down the list of my priorities, because I have years ahead of me. For some of us, we're too busy to think about salvation. We're so involved with life and getting on with life and all that life throws at us. We have so many things to put in place and so much yet to accomplish. And then perhaps after that, we will consider this thing that is called salvation. Some of us perhaps are too good in our own estimation, and we feel that because we are so good and because we live a good life and we haven't done anybody any harm, that there is no need, therefore, for me to have this salvation, because the salvation that Jesus Christ purchased on the cross was purchased for sinners. And since I am a good man or a good woman and respectable and religious, therefore, salvation has no real bearing on my life. But you see, I fear that whether we're far too young, far too busy, far too good in our own estimation, I think that for some of us, we will be too late. Too late. Because of our sin, we know that we need a Savior. Because of the Scriptures, we know that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sins, and we've been listening to this tonight, very clearly and simply presented to us through the Bible readings and through the ministry in song. But the problem is that we could know all of this and know all about Christ and know all about the cross and even know the way of salvation and yet not be saved. And there come a time in life when we're too late and the opportunity has passed us by and we find ourselves slipping out into a Christless eternity. And as I've struggled with what I might say tonight, these are the verses that God has laid upon my heart here in John chapter 7. Because here's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Having gone up to the Feast of the Tabernacles, he begins to teach the people certain things about himself. And like so many other times when he had preached to the people, they had listened attentively. But they had failed to grasp what it was that the Lord Jesus Christ had actually said. But what he says to them now is most solemn, for here's what he says in verse 33 and 34. Then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Two things, as time permits us tonight, to look at those two verses. As far as these people are concerned that Jesus addresses, there is a real tragedy concerning their searching. You see, earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus Christ has already reminded the people that he was the Messiah, God's anointed one. He was the one whom the nation was expecting. He was the one that God had sent into the world to be their Savior. But away back in John chapter 1, we're reminded that Jesus Christ came unto his own, but his own received him not. They didn't recognize Jesus Christ for who he was, and even with his credentials and all the miraculous things that he was doing, and even the word that flowed from his mouth concerning the things of God, these people did not grasp who Jesus was. And they didn't understand that he had come to bring them out of darkness and despair and to bring them into a true and a saving and a meaningful relationship with God. That was a great tragedy. Because the fact of the matter is that these people were awaiting a Savior. These people were expecting a Messiah. These people were looking for him whom the prophets had described on numerous occasions, and Jesus Christ is in their midst and they didn't know it. And Jesus Christ had come to them and they rejected him. And Jesus Christ had something to give to him, to them, and they didn't want it. And even though they were searching for him, they didn't recognize him and they didn't accept him. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You'll seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. And they're confused about this. They're wondering, is he going now to leave Galilee? Is he going to leave them and going to teach the Gentiles instead? Was he going someplace where they wouldn't be able to physically follow him? Because Jesus, of course, had gone from place to place, village to village, town to town, city to city. So he had been itinerant in his ministry all over the place, and they were confused about what Jesus now meant. But Jesus was thinking of something more solemn, something far more important. Because he knew that now he must soon go by way of the cross. His hour had not yet come. But he knew that very soon he would be making his way along the road that would one day take him into the city. And the time would come when he would be taken outside the city walls, and he would be taken and he would be nailed to an old rugged cross, and there, lifted up to the gaze of a perishing world, he would die for the sin of the world. And Jesus knew that this was coming. He knew what lay ahead of him, and he knew that not only would he die for sinners, he would rise again, the tomb would be empty, he would ascend to heaven, and one day he would come again. But because of their hardness of their hearts and their stubborn refusal to repent, they just couldn't grasp it. One day they'd awaken to their sense of need, but on that particular day it would be too late. Too late. I wonder, will that be true of you? Maybe one of those people too young, salvation doesn't interest you. One of those people too busy getting on with life and you're not interested. One of those people too good and you don't see your need of Jesus Christ as your Savior. I wonder, will the time come in your life when these things will have more bearing on your soul and you'll give them some very serious consideration, but it will be too late. You say to me, but Pastor, how can that be so? Well, let me tell you when it'll be too late for you. It'll be too late for you to find Christ when your heart is hardened. The fact is, every time you hear the gospel and every time you've heard it, not just during my ministry, but the ministry of others, and you've sat and you've listened and you've heard, but you haven't heeded. Perhaps it is that your heart has been hardening toward the gospel. And you've been coming increasingly more stubborn with regards to salvation. I've known people like that. It happens. Some of them attended gospel missions for years. Some of them were never missing at a gospel meeting. Some of them brought up in Christian homes. Some of them who listened to the best preachers that this land has ever produced. And despite one privilege after another and hearing the word of God directly to their soul, instead of repenting, they hardened their heart. And they were adamant that no matter how often they heard it, and no matter who they heard, and no matter what the content of the message, they came to the same conclusion regarding Christ: I will not have this man to rule over me. Preacher, you can preach till you're blue in the face, but my mind's already made up as far as Jesus Christ is concerned. He's not for me. You might get to that place someday. Despite many priceless opportunities and your heart hard, too late to find Christ. It might be that it'll be too late for you to find Christ when you've tasted death. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? The thought that you and I must one day die. And die we will. And you see, on that day when you and I die, if we die without Christ, it'll be too late to find him. Too late to be saved. Opportunity will have gone. The door will be shut fast. The day of mercy and grace will have passed us by. And I hate to say this, but say it I must because it's true. You may have gone the way of death and slipped out into a lost eternity and be separated from Christ forever. Forever. No hope of change. No hope of reprieve. No more opportunities. And don't think that when you live and then you die that somehow that's the end of the matter. You see, heaven and hell are realities. There is no annihilation of the soul. So it matters how we live. And there's no in-between state when we're gone. It will either be heaven with Christ or it'll be hell without him. Some of you will say, but Pastor, hold on a moment. I'm far too young to be thinking about death. I'm far too healthy to be thinking about death. I'm far too busy to be thinking about death. I'm far too involved in so many things to even consider the fact that one day my life will end. Well, friend, it's time you wakened up because day will come when it will end. Death will come. It will carry you away just like a chariot out into eternity. But the real question is, eternity where? Will you be in heaven with Christ? Or will you die in your sin and go out into a lost eternity because you never prepared to meet God? The story is told of a wedding taking place in a beautiful alpine village. The day had been set aside for months because two young people from the community, from two well-known families, were getting married. Very exciting occasion. And the whole village had gathered to help them celebrate what this special occasion stood for. The meal was finished, speeches had been made, the bride and groom had just stepped onto the dance floor. Because of the sound of the music, the guests didn't hear a stirring in the mountains up above. And in just a moment of time, an avalanche struck, raced down the mountain. It was unstoppable. And it covered the whole village. None survived. You see, that's how death sometimes comes. You've heard me say it so often before from this pulpit. You and I don't know how we'll die, when we'll die, where we'll die, but die we will. And I urge you tonight, be reconciled to God. Repent of your sin. Come to Christ. Do it while you're still in time, not in eternity. Because in eternity, it'll be forever too late. And it'll be too late for you to find Christ when the Lord returns. We've been listening tonight to the choir singing about the fact Jesus is coming again. And the Bible reminds us that he's coming for a prepared people. In fact, the Bible says that the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Jesus himself said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's coming for a prepared people, to take them to a prepared place. When he comes, will you be going with him to heaven? The Lord Jesus bore this out in one of the parables he taught, the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 ready and waiting. 5 who were unprepared. The bridegroom came, the door was shut fast, and they cried out, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And the response was solemn. I do not know you. I do not know you. And that's why the hymn writer says, be in time, by the voice of Jesus called you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. There's a real tragedy concerning their searching, because the one they were looking for was already in their midst, and they didn't trust him. Here's the second thing. There's a real truth concerning their separation. For Jesus says to them, you shall seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Seems to me that as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, there's an enforced separation that will take place. Where I am, you cannot come. At this stage, Jesus is on his way to the cross. And soon he's going to be uplifted on that cross, and he'll suffer and bleed and die for your sins and mine. And having gone through the shame and the pain and the agony of such a cruel death by crucifixion, they'll take him down from the cross and they'll bury him in a tomb belonging to Joseph of Arimathea. And then they'll come to anoint his body, and he'll not be there, because the tomb will be empty and Jesus will be risen, and he will ascend back to heaven, to the place that was rightfully his. And he says to these people, where I am, you cannot come. He'd be in heaven. And because of their unbelief and because of their stubbornness and the hardness of their hearts, they would not be there. I can't think of anything worse. To think that a man or a woman or a young person should go through their whole lifetime listening to the claims of Christ, knowing the way of salvation, knowing that there's a heaven and a hell, and making no preparation, and then one day not being in heaven, going out into a lost eternity, and the life behind them marked with missed opportunity, missed opportunity, missed opportunity. Jesus says, where I am, you cannot come. They'd be separated from him, and that for all eternity. In rejecting him, they would cut themselves off from his love forever. Let me ask you something. Is that how it will be with you? Some people think they'll get to heaven by default. That cannot be. Some think they'll get to heaven in their own way. That's impossible because it's the way of the cross that leads home. And some are convinced they're going to heaven tonight, but they're not saved. And they're greatly mistaken. And if they died as they're living, then heaven they would never see. And I want you to think about this seriously, personally. Because you'll never be in heaven unless you're a saved sinner. You'll never be in heaven unless you repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Savior. You'll never be in heaven unless you come by way of the cross and your sin washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. O soul, take heed, ere the shadow fall, and the day of grace be past. For how shall a trembling sinner stand by the gates of hell at last? You're not saved tonight. Don't leave it too late. Pastor, you know something in nights that have gone. There were times when I really thought about getting saved and I did nothing about it. There were times when I wanted to reach out in faith and trust the Savior, but what? Who held you back? What kept you on the way that you're living? What made you turn around and stop looking for Christ? Jesus says, I shall be with you a little while longer and then I'll go to him who sent me. You will seek me and you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. You're still in time tonight. Tomorrow, well, that might be forever too late. You could be saved tonight and bound for heaven. But if you trail your feet and reject the Savior and bypass the cross and grieve the Spirit of God, you'll miss your day of opportunity. And one day, look for him. And he's not to be found. And the day of God's mercy passed you by. Don't leave it too late. I've tried faithfully, honestly and simply, Sunday night by Sunday night, to point you to Christ. I might never have that opportunity again. Don't leave it too late. Let's pray together. And just as we bow our hearts and heads together, think about priceless opportunities and think about the Savior. Ponder this great salvation. Maybe tonight your response is, Lamb of God, I come. And I come now. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible for every one of us to be saved and to know it, and to be sure of heaven. But the words he spoke that we have considered tonight remind us that a day will come when an enforced separation will take place. We pray, therefore, in the light of that, that every single one of us, young and old alike, will prepare to meet God. By your Spirit work in all our hearts, we pray, for Christ's sake.